This sequence means that the first question, Mr. Green will get to answer first, then Mr. Heiner, then Mr. Fisher. Second question will be Mr. Heiner, Mr. Fisher, Mr. Green. So everybody get the sequence there? Everybody okay? We really appreciate these three gentlemen being here. When we talk to partners in the community, they are together a whole lot. And we know that a lot of times they're talking about economic development or business or their vision for the future. We thought it was absolutely essential that we have a dedicated event for our mayoral candidates to talk about children and families. And that's really what the focus of this morning is. All of these guys, as the campaign is sort of heading down the home stretch, have lots of invitations, they have lots of obligations, they have lots of opportunities. And before we even begin, I'd like for you to join me in extending our thanks to the three of them being here this morning. To begin the questioning, we have, since we had a yellow jacket up here, we wanted to make sure we had an eagle. So we have Connor Allen asking the first question. Connor, thanks for being here.
Good morning. My name is Connor Allen, and I'm a senior at Eastern. And our question was, based on the data given in the 2010 Kentucky Kids Count data book, we found that in 2009, the high school graduation rate in Jefferson County was 71%, compared to the 2009 state average of 84%. It was also observed that in 2009, unemployment in adults was at 10.3% in Jefferson County, which was a substantial raise from the 3.7 recorded in 2000. Do you see a correlation between high school graduation rates and unemployment rates in adults? And if so, how, as mayor, do you plan to work with Metro Council and Jefferson County Board of Education to repair the dropping high school graduation rates in Jefferson County?
Connor, thank you. Tara and Chanel, thank you, Terry. There is a correlation. This year, of course, and the part of that correlation has been skewed by financial duress within the economy, local, national, and international. I think what the mayor's office can do, and what I am committed to doing, is to begin with working with preschool. We have to catch kids before they get to school to work with their parents in improving that child's readiness for kindergarten, for first grade. We also need to be working with the parents with some adult education. Parents are a critical element of any student's education, and if the parent is not equipped to help with such minimal items as reading, that child is not going to perform well. So I would see partnerships being developed to improve adult education to help the kids further. Another issue pertains to our current school assignment plan, which puts many parents unable to participate in their child's education because the child is going to school too far away from home. I would like to see us distribute affordable housing all over the county. That makes every community diverse. That makes every school diverse. Kids can go to their local school. Parents can be involved in that school. The neighborhood can be involved with the school, and the school with the neighborhood. Thank you. That's okay. Do you want me to say it all over again?
Well, certainly, whenever the family is hurting, it affects the entire family. It affects the children, affects schooling, affects graduation rate. But more importantly, as we look at the proficiency ratings of schools here in Louisville, we look at in math, we're Louisville is actually pulling down the state of Kentucky. In reading, we're pulling down the state of Kentucky. In graduation rate, we're pulling down the state of Kentucky. I recently talked to a principal in a school that was quite troubled. In fact, it had the lowest rated elementary school in the state of Kentucky 4 years ago. He said, Hal, when I came here, there were 75 fourth graders. He said, two were reading at grade level. 26 were reading at kindergarten level. So I ask you about those 26 students in that fourth grade. What's the chance that they are going to finish their high school education? Probably not very good. It's time for a fresh start on education here in Jefferson County. I love this community. We have so many great things going on in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a great city. But when it comes to education, we are simply not moving ahead fast enough, especially in failing schools. When you see a report that comes out and says there are 10 severely failing schools in Kentucky, and six are in Louisville, is that the Louisville we love? No. And as mayor, I hope to be involved, directly involved in education, even though the mayor has no formal authority. That position has the ability to pull people together, to focus on issues like this, and help support the superintendent and school board, and encourage them, demand from them, that our school system move ahead faster. And there's great ideas. Summer programs, so you don't have regression in the summer. There's reduced class sizes for youth that are most at risk. There are ways that we can go after this and actually make sure the children are ready to graduate from high school. We can do it, and I hope to play a role in that. Thank you.
Well, the data is very clear that the higher your education is, the more likely you are to make a decent living. So the more that we move forward with our educational outcomes, the better off we're going to be in terms of income and the drop in unemployment as well. The mayor should be the conscience for the community when it comes to education. The realities are today, folks, that we're not just competing with Chicago or Charlotte anymore. We're competing with China and India. So the mayor, while he does not control Jefferson County Public Schools, has got to insist for all of Kentucky, but Louisville in particular, that our educational, that our kids receive educations as good as anywhere in the world, and constantly talk about that. My experience is that if you set high expectations for somebody, and you provide the structure, and you provide the discipline, people will succeed. So let's set those high expectations. By the time a kid is 10 years old, their background has taught them that they've got a shot to go to college or not. So let's make sure these young kids know they have a pathway to college under any situations. Now, how can the mayor specifically help? We've developed a program called Everyone Knows. Everyone Knows is a partnership program where we would go with JCPS and the community into the school districts, into the schools, so we can talk to the parents and grandparents in the schools, let them know what's available and how they can engage with their child. Most parents are engaged in the elementary level, then they tend to fade off once they get into middle school and high school. We've got to stop this, because this is where one out of four kids don't graduate. So go in, partner with the workplace, much like Metro United Way does. Have a technology component to that as well, where everyone knows is a portal, where we can see what the individual learning plan status is for the students, how you can get assistance in the school. So whether you can be there in person at the workplace or be there via the cloud, via the web, with the portal of Everyone Knows, that's an actual solution that the city can help with.
Thank you, candidates.
Good morning. I'm Susan Vessels, and I'm the Executive Director of Community Coordinated Child Care. We're the Child Care Resource and Referral Agency for 15 counties, including Jefferson. We're sort of like the old Lucent commercial, where we don't provide daycare, we just make it better. And we do that by training the child care providers and also by administering child care subsidy programs. So first I have a request. I really want to meet with one of you after November to talk about the $200,000 that we have lost in local child care subsidy dollars in the last 4 years. But this morning, to get back to Kids Count, we heard this morning that there's only 17% of Jefferson County federal tax filers who claim the earned income tax credit. And we know that that is one of the very best ways to lift children out of poverty in this country. And we also know that low-income mothers that receive federal child care subsidies are more likely to be employed, and they work more hours, which makes sense, than mothers without child care subsidies. Yet, nationally, only an estimated one-third of children eligible for federal funded subsidies receive them. So my question to you is, what role do you think that the Louisville Mayor's Office plays in ensuring that those kinds of work support, such as the EITC and the child care subsidies, are reaching eligible families?
Well, thank you. Thanks, Susan, for that question. The mayor plays the most important role in the community in getting a message out on availability of programs. Certainly from a health standpoint in this community, we don't have the availability. I was talking with a president of a hospital here here recently, and he talked about the incidence of disease in Louisville, especially in lower socioeconomic areas. And he said, Hal, the incidence is the same, but the outcome is much worse. So what I would hope to do is, one, that we would first increase the availability of preventative health care. Once we have that availability, the ability to make sure that programs like EITC and other availability to families that need that support at critical times in their lives, to make sure that that's known to patients as they come through that system, that needs to be a priority. The current administration has taken, the first step in making sure that EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit, is known in the community. And certainly Mayor Abramson has been out there and has tried to shine the light on the need. But at 15%, we need to do a better job. It helps families, it helps our community, and as mayor, I would be a strong supporter, proponent of making sure that families in this community know the resources are available to them. In addition, on Metro Council, I have been a supporter of Neighborhood Place and other areas of coordinated efforts to make sure that families know all of the services that are available to them. In this time of cuts, the council stood up and said, no, we are not going to cut. And I would continue to be a supporter of those coordinated agencies.
Let's talk first about how we can be proactive. There's a high cost to being poor, and Terry Brooks has written a book about that, whether it be payday lending or instant loans. So it's critical that folks that aren't doing as well have a high degree of financial literacy so they don't lose more money than what they already should by not understanding the banking system. There's a program called Bank On that's being introduced to the community that's the first step in helping people gain financial literacy. And so it's important that that's done. It's important when somebody gets out of either jail or prison that they also have financial literacy as well, so they can understand there is a way to make a living here and understand how the system works. Secondly, it's important that we increase the assistance and availability through existing programs that we have right now. The neighborhood places are a great example of this, where a community member can go in and understand what all of the eligible programs are for them. So make sure that each one of these has gone through. Make sure that when an agency is talking to somebody about a SNAP program, that they're also talking about the Earned Income Tax Credit, so that there's overlap and we make sure that none of these programs are left on the table. I talked about Everyone Knows just a moment ago. We're partnering with the school system of going in and talking to parents and grandparents about how you can be most successful for your child relative to the school system. This gives us another great opportunity to communicate to tens of thousands of people about the available work supports that are out there. These are federal dollars that are there for the asking. We should do everything that we possibly can to go after that, and the mayor has a tremendous role to play in providing information and communicating to all of our neighborhoods, our faith-based operations, and our businesses to get the word out on this.
Susan, thank you. At the heart of economic well-being is our local economy. Put yourself, and we have to address this. We have a great community, a great city, but there are some weaknesses that we are ignoring. Put yourself in the role of a corporation looking to invest in Louisville. They fly in a representative. She steps off the plane expecting to get to her downtown meeting by monorail, by light rail, by some form of conveyance she's accustomed to seeing in every other city. The first mental note she makes, no public transit. Second mental note she makes is when she gets into the cab and she hears on the radio, don't go outdoors today. Our air is not good. Air quality alert day. The third mental note she makes is when she talks to the driver and the driver says, yeah, it rained real large. We had a big rain yesterday and we've got raw sewage flowing in our creeks. She reads in the Courier Journal that her kids may not be able to go to their local school. She reads in the Courier Journal that our health is not good, and she knows what that costs her company. She reads about our educational level, and she knows what that does to her company's bottom line. At this point in time, that lady's on her cell phone. She's booking a flight out of here. We lost, not because we're not great, but because we are ignoring our weaknesses. We cannot afford to ignore our weaknesses. We must face them and address them, and this includes our relationship in this economy to energy. Energy will determine the health of an economy, and we are 99.9% dependent on coal and on petroleum. We need to face up to that and improve our bottom line for the entire community, improving the economic standing of our families. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Good morning. I'm David Graves, president of Brooklawn Child and Family Services. Kids Count data shows that we have been seeing a decline. Kids Count data shows that we have been seeing a decline in the number of youth in out-of-home care in Jefferson County for the past 3 years, which is good, but we know that despite no differences in rate of abuse across races, African-American kids are overrepresented in out-of-home care. We also know that many youth stay in foster care until they reach age 18. Due to changes at the state level, there will be more of a local burden to provide services such as housing, mentoring, transitional support for these vulnerable youth who are aging out of the state's foster care system. As mayor, what would you do to ensure that our community has adequate resources to support these youth as they transition to adulthood without the family support many of us relied upon?
Well, all these questions have very easy solutions, don't they? Yeah, and congratulations and thanks for the great job that you guys are doing. You know, so many of these fall back on us as to what we're gonna do together as a community. We have needs that are greater than ever, and we have income that's less than it's been in quite some time. So the partnerships that we develop around these are very important for us as a community, obviously. How do we bring awareness to these issues within the families, using the churches is one strong way to do this, to make sure that if your parents, for whatever reason, aren't able to take care of you, that your relatives are the first place that you can go before you go into out-of-home care. Secondly, the more that we can tie young people into the workplace, the better the opportunity for them to transition for a successful outcome. So we've seen some good examples of partnerships with the business community, with the schools already, with the Everyone Reads program, where the business community understands that if kids are not prepared with their literacy rates, they're not going to get a good education, we can't have the workforce of tomorrow. Likewise, we need to emphasize that on the mentoring of kids so that they can find a job or find an industry that they're interested in to give them that spark that says, I can become independent, I can get by on my own, but there has to be something that's caught their imagination once they get outside of the workforce there, or once they get out of state care. So it's the partnerships with faith-based organizations, it's with businesses, and then going back to our broader family as well, that we have to reach out. Look, a lot of these challenges that we're facing today, there is no instant pudding here. But together as a community, we've had big challenges before. We've risen to them. It takes us, all of us, working together. I've called our city, one county, one family. And what affects somebody in the east affects them in the west. We can either pay today or pay more later. The more that we invest in these services today, the better off we're going to be down the road.
Morning, David. Thank you. Extremely difficult questions for our community. How do we help those? I think that Greg's response in the relationships between organizations and institutions and those young adults coming out of that schooling and facing life after school needs to be evaluated under a lens of connectivity. What are the opportunities for churches to engage with that individual, for the schools to continue engagement with the individual, for that individual to engage with work? If you step back and look at the thread that unites, that ties that person to the community, one of the major threads is transportation and land use. That individual has to have access to work without having to ride on TARC for an hour and a half. That means that we can no longer develop in the East End as we ignore our existing neighborhoods. That child does not live in a wealthy neighborhood. That child lives in a lower income neighborhood, and we are doing damage to those neighborhoods with every new development. Public infrastructure, private investment, metro services are fleeing those neighborhoods. That has to stop. We have to pull our increasing range geographically in our land development so transportation and engagement and community can be built, can be nurtured in a tighter geographical community. Thank you.
Well, in metro government, youth have been a priority. It's been tight financial times, and there's been cuts throughout the budget, and there's been cuts in youth services. But there have been some fantastic programs that continue to deserve support and really deserve more support from this government than they're getting. One example is Boys Haven has a program at Trackside that takes students that to actually help them learn a career. They may have dropped out of high school, but going back into high school, but learn a career, and they've had 70% placement success out of that program. Every child in this community is important. But the long-term solution is not programs at 17 and 18 and 19, and actually that program can go on to 21 years old for support. But that's not the long-term solution for Louisville. The long-term solution is back at kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, that we don't have the failing schools, that we eliminate failing schools here in Louisville. Part of that is reduced class size. But there's another part to schooling, beyond just reading, writing, arithmetic. And that part is making sure each of those students understand the bigger context of life, understand what's possible for them beyond just their two or three block neighborhood if they haven't been exposed to it, that they can begin at that early age to develop their future story, what's possible for them, that like Principal Dewey Hensley's doing at J.B. Atkinson, that every child in that elementary school knows the year that they're going to enter college, that they're exposed to what's possible in their life beyond just what they've been exposed to currently. So I'm a firm believer that we're only one generation away from making huge progress in terms of what the future story is for youth here in Louisville, and we need to get started on it.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Joan Bouchard from the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, and we provide funding to address the unmet healthcare needs of Kentuckians, a small task. In today's presentation, we saw some disturbing trends for Jefferson County in the number of babies born at low birth weight and also for teen moms. two factors that jeopardize the health and the well-being of newborns with potential social, educational, and economic outcomes down the road. Kids Count data also shows a growing number of children in Jefferson County are receiving supports that enhance children's nutrition, including food stamps and WIC. Plus, 62% of public school students are eligible for free or reduced school meals. These nutrition programs offer support, but they can't eliminate hunger on their own. Yesterday, we heard that Dr. Adewale Troutman from the Metro Department of Health and Wellness is leaving Louisville. So when selecting a new director, what do you see his or her role is in improving these birth outcomes and also increasing access to healthy foods?
Joan, thank you. I'm having difficulty with this mic today. I'm sitting down with Yum. I'm sitting down with Yum. I'll give this back to you, Hal. You didn't give me that t-shirt, though. How many seconds have I got left? Goodness. All right, thanks. I'm sitting down with Yum personnel in the coming weeks. And one of the things that I want to ask them is to partner with us in developing a much healthier approach to diet. Another thing that I want to ask them to explore with us is to reevaluate their business plan that utilizes drive-through windows. We've got cars sitting there emitting all sorts of pollutants and hurting our health, the health of our children, the health of our adults. I would like for the new director to walk that path with me. I would like for that new director also to help in establishing around every school and park a three radial block cocoon, an absolute pedestrian right-of-way, so children can walk to school, parents can walk with them. Our kids need more activity. Another thing I would do is to focus once again on our land development. We're talking about getting healthy food into our schools. As we develop on the East End, we are destroying farms and fields which either are today or are tomorrow our local food economy. We cannot continue that destruction. Those are some of the elementary things that I would look at it initially. Thank you, Joan.
In the next health director, we'd be looking for two primary areas. One is early childhood health, and the second is increasing the availability of preventative health care. As I mentioned earlier, our incidence level of disease is the same, but when you wait too long, the outcomes are costly and oftentimes very difficult for the family. I was down recently at the Family Health Center in Portland, and great operation. A lot of volunteers, medical volunteers, a lot of hardworking people seeing a lot of patients. And I said, well, how does this match up? How does the Family Health Center match up with the need? He said, well, Hal, we're turning away literally hundreds and hundreds of patients just because we don't have availability of this affordable preventative care. And we need to do better. Well, let me give you one example where we haven't done better, where we need to do better. The Portland Marine Hospital, the old hospital. Are we okay? We okay? Okay.
Just a little embarrassed.
Good. Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. Good.
That didn't affect your time.
Thank you. Out of time, thank you. But we have the old, it's actually a historic building, the Portland Marine Hospital, right behind the Family Health Center. U of L, their Department of Pediatric Medicine, has expressed an interest in moving into that building. The exterior has been renovated with previous grants, but they need several million dollars to renovate the interior. Once it's renovated, U of L is ready to move in a portion of their pediatric medicine training right there in the area of high need in our community. And despite the efforts of Representative Clark and Senator DeWeese in Frankfurt, that grant funding was not provided in the last legislative session. As mayor, I intend to be in Frankfurt to make sure projects like that are absolutely necessary for Louisville, that they are funded, and even including partial funding by Louisville Metro to show the interest in this community on expanding preventative health care in our community.
Well done on the recovery, by the way. Dr. Troutman has done a great job, both here in Louisville and nationally, addressing the big issue of public health equity. You know, why people with less income, perhaps different race, have worse health outcomes than other folks. So this is an example here locally where you see big differences in obesity, diabetes, that you can pay for later with lower quality of life and higher health care costs, or get in front of right now. So it's important that the next director is passionate about public health equity issues. It's also important that the next director has strong experience with public-private partnerships. When I visit with the major hospitals in town, Norton's, Jewish, et cetera, they're saying we can do more. We can be a better partner with our public health agencies as well. So we've got to be creative when we take a look at that. One example would be is a strong partnership between the Public Health Department and Jefferson County Public Schools. We have 100,000 people, called kids, going to school every day. So it's a perfect place where we can disseminate information on what healthy living is, what nutrition is, et cetera. I'd like to create a Metro Louisville Student Health Index. What gets measured counts, and it's improved, just like what we see here today. So what is the status of health for our Metro students? And let's go to work on that. As I mentioned earlier, I've worked with Jefferson County Public Schools to try to get a nurse in every school. There's only 16 nurses in 155 Jefferson County Public Schools. That's not good. So these nurses can be both reactive in terms of helping kids when they're ill, but also being proactive in terms of nutrition, referring kids and their families to other doctors when they need help, et cetera. So let's try to get that in place. Last, healthy foods, vitally important. My campaign has had a very active team on local food economy, how we grow our local food economy. Let's make sure that electronic benefit transfers, SNAP program can be used at local food markets on Saturdays, so that healthy food can get in the get back to home as well.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I just have to share with everybody that Makita is a former KYAer, and she currently works for Dr. Troutman. So really, it's just that this question got her a little excited back there. That was just it. She was really listening to your answers, I can tell you that. As we mentioned, we've also extended an invitation to the candidates to conclude with a three-minute statement, which gives them a chance to talk about everything they want to talk about that they didn't get to talk about. So I think we start with Mr. Heiner, and then Mr. Fisher, and then Mr. Green.
The future of Louisville is you. Eastern High School, Central High School, the youth of this community. And the most important determining factor in that future is your preparation for that future, your plans for that future. Jefferson County Public Schools needs to improve, and improve significantly across this community. We saw the statistics today. We saw the proficiency, the average proficiency in our school in math, our average proficiency in reading, our dropout rate, all well below the Kentucky average. And Kentucky is not known as a stellar education state. We cannot remain a great city unless we improve education in Louisville. And we need to start now. We have pilot programs that have been rolled out in the school system that are immensely successful. But either we don't have the resources or the will to expand those pilot programs to the other troubled schools around them. The next mayor needs to pull together the civic community, the business community, the education community, and encourage the school system to move forward faster. It's time for more magnet schools, traditional programs. We may have to look at cutting class sizes in half in a lot of these schools. It's time for innovative thinking. Maybe it takes merit pay for the best teachers to work in the most troubled schools. I don't necessarily have the answers, but I know the answers are there. And we've seen where innovation has taken hold with incredible results in just 3 or 4 years. J.B. Atkinson is a great example of that. It's amazing what they have done. We need to do that throughout the entire school system. We also need to improve in a couple of other areas. I've talked about preventative health care. We need to do a better job. You know, I was talking with a couple of doctors the other day. They said, Hal, you know, we'd like to volunteer our time, but in Kentucky, there is a law that if someone contributes their time for charitable work, they're protected from a lawsuit as long as they're doing it in good faith. But in the medical profession, there is no protection. We can volunteer our time, work in good faith, and be sued for literally millions and millions of dollars. He said, you know, if there was some tort reform in Kentucky on just charitable volunteer work, I think you'd be amazed at the number of volunteer physicians that came into healthcare clinics, preventative healthcare clinics throughout this city. That's something I hope to work on in Frankfurt, and in fact have started to work with an attorney that makes his living off of medical litigation, saying sure for volunteer work, that's something we need to do. It's good for our city. Louisville has so much potential, and that's what excites me about this next administration. To get there, I need your help. We have a great city in so many ways, but there are areas that we can do a lot better. I know we can, and just hope to have your support come November 2nd. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you all for your time today. It was some pretty heavy stuff we're talking about today, so especially for the young folks in here, don't get discouraged. Louisville's a great place. We've got great neighborhoods. We've got some great strategic assets that we can build on as well. We have tremendous diversity. We've got a lot of energy in the community for people to work on things. So our country has always faced challenges before, whether it be big wars, existing wars, economic downturns, and we've always come out of it. We've come out of it through innovation. We've come out of it through risk. We've come out of it through entrepreneurship. One of you all is going to be the next Colonel Sanders, or the next David Jones, or whatever you might be. So have confidence that when you leave here that we've always faced challenges as a nation, we've always come over them, and it comes up to you all, and of course all of us in the room as well. So what can a mayor do? A mayor's got to show solutions by modeling. My companies that I've been involved with, we've always adopted schools under the Everyone Reads program, most recently Gutterm Youth Elementary. So let's remember always about that public-private partnerships that we've talked a lot about. There's a lot of people that want to do a lot of good things in the community, so let's make sure there's no barriers to involvement when it comes to public-private partnerships. I've said previously that I want to have a youth advocacy team as a constant input to my policies and my cabinet so that the needs of youth are front and center when we talk about issues facing the community. So I might need some of your all's help with that. When you're involved, obviously the solutions are much closer. We've put together a lot of teams. We've had 20 different teams in the primary, and each one of them have looked at a youth element with their policies. Children and youth development team, economic development, criminal justice, education and the workforce have been just a few. So we've been working on a lot of these issues now for over a year. But some of the overarching themes are the same. We talk about being the best in the world at what we do with our education. So we got a long way to go. So let's not compare ourselves to how we were doing last year. What I'd like to see next time that we put this together, Terry, we've spoken about this, let's see what the best in the world is and compare ourselves to that. And you know what, folks, that's going to take our breath away. Well, we might need to have our breath taken away. So we start thinking not just with incremental improvement, but breakthrough improvement. Because what we see here is you see graphs that are kind of the same. They go up and down and a little down, but we don't see tremendous change. And that's what we really need as a community, to break out of this mode we're in. So let's compare ourselves to the best in the world, because I know that's what we all want as a community, to have that. So the mayor has the power to convene bring people together to work on these various issues and break down silos. These 20 different teams that I spoke about that we had together in the primary, they had two things in common: passionate people, but tremendous silos. So you might have the education community not talking to the health community as much as they should. We've got to talk across functions so we can come up with real community solutions. And as your mayor, I guarantee you I'll do that. I need your vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate, uniting Democrats and Republicans. Joan, I have to thank you for your approach to health care rather than health repair. So many times in this country we talk about health care when we're really talking about health repair, and we're not being proactive in caring for the health so we don't have to go to health repair. Thank you. If polls were calibrated to dollars spent in campaigning, I'd be way ahead of both of these gentlemen. There are bumper stickers on the back of that table that fell. Please pick one up. I hope the bumper stickers did not contribute to the collapse. Vote your vision, please, not your fears. Vote your vision, not your fears. In November, we are not going to elect a chief executive development officer. We're not going to elect a policymaker, a financial manager, or a city administrator. Louisville has those. Those are functions that are performed by staff and by departmental heads. That's not what you want out of the mayor. What you need from the mayor is vision and direction. Greg and Hal will support unsustainable development at the expense of existing neighborhoods. I will oppose unsustainable development and direct resources to existing neighborhoods. Greg and Hal will support coal and petroleum dependencies in our local economy, and I will work to move our economy away from coal, away from petroleum dependencies. Greg and Hal will support some variation of the Ohio River Bridges project, some unknown variation. I support a world-class public transit system as a higher priority that serves our neighborhoods. While they're focused on interstate highways, I will see that we are linked to Cincinnati, to Indianapolis, to Nashville, to St. Louis by passenger rail. And I will see that Louisville participates in the nation's high-speed rail project. These are the elements, among others, of an administration that looks to the future, your future. I went to school in São Paulo, Brazil. I went there at 12 years of age, came back at 18. I know that we face a much bigger world, that you face a much bigger and a much tougher world in the future. Please vote your vision, not your fears. Thank you.